Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
Psalm 27, verse 4 through 5, if you are there, say amen. David penned this portion of scripture and he said, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell at LifeGate Church all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him there at LifeGate Church. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe there at LifeGate Church. He will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shadow of his sacred tent, LifeGate Church, and set me high upon a rock." I want to preach a message to you tonight. This is part two of It's All in the House. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord today. I pray that you encourage my brothers and sisters who are here today that are partaking of the things of God. And I pray that life would get up on the inside of those who are frustrated, that faith would come where there's doubt, and that hope would come where it seems impossibilities surround them, and that you would speak directly to those who are in transition, in limbo, trying to find a place to plant. I pray today, Lord, that you would send the right people to plant in this church that are called to go to this church. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And the people of God said yes and amen. So for all of our first-time guests, here's how we do it. Before you're seated, we want you to go find somebody you don't know their name, wrap your arms around them, shake their hand, and welcome them to LifeGate Church as our dear brother plays something here on the organ. A song in my spirit this morning, I want to sing it for you today. It goes like this: some glad morning when this life is over, I'm gonna fly away to the I'll fly away. Come on, sing, I'll fly away. Sing, I'm gonna fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Sing, I'll fly away. Come on, sing, I'll fly. Sing, I'm gonna fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Come on, sing, I'll fly away. Come on, give God a round of applause this morning. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the house of the Lord today. I'm old school. I can't help it. I might look like a teenager, but I'm old school. I promise. I'm so thankful we got all these young people on the front row. All right? My mom should have shouted because she's on the front row and she's a young people today. Sit down, Gen Xer. Sit down, Gen Xer. That's my beautiful wife for all of you that don't know. Pastor Jen, they did great to you. Praise team, y'all pressed today, right? Can we give Miss Katie, that's her first time she's let loose leading this morning. Can we give her some encouragement today? She did great. All right, Jesus. So we have grown so fast in the last 4 months of a church. And we have so many new people coming to our church and going. By the show of hands, if you've been coming to church since we've been in this building, can you just raise your hand real quick? I want y'all to look around real fast. Look at all the people God has added to the church. And we're so thankful for you. Amen. And so I want you to make sure and have the understanding what kind of a church God is calling us to build. Now, my wife and I was a little confused the question you asked me before church, and I didn't explain it well first service. So what we're going to do, if you would like to become a member of our church for the next four Sundays, so this Sunday, the next Sunday, the next Sunday, the next Sunday, that's four Sundays in a row, we're going to teach the membership class in a brand new way. So if you would like to become a member of our church, please sign up at the back information station. Now, you have to be here for all four services, and we'll know that by you signing up at the back information station. And then at the end of those 4 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to take communion together as a church. We'll give you a certificate of membership and bless you with a gift before you get out of here, and we want to recognize you that way. But it takes the next 4 weeks to complete that, and we will know only on Sundays if you sign up at the back each individual Sunday. I love this scripture here because the Bible said that David was basically, he had passion for the house of God. He said, I want to dwell there in your house, gaze at your beauty there at your house. I want to seek your face at your house, find shelter at your house, find safety at your house, for your house, God, is a sacred place. David desired to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know what your desire is today, but I believe with all my heart that it's to be in the house of the Lord, for you wouldn't be here today if you weren't concerned about being at God's house. I'm thankful that everything that we have need of can be found in a life-giving church. If you need healing, healing is in the house. If you need deliverance, deliverance is in the house. If you need victory, victory is in the house. If you need power, power is in the house. If you need freedom from addiction, it's in the house. If you need freedom from perversion, it's in the house. If you need freedom from depression, it's in the house. If you need victory from the way you think when it's wrong, it's all up in the house. Look at your neighbor, say, I got a desire to be in the house of the Lord. And so what I want to do in the next four Sundays, including today, I should probably say the next three Sundays, because today would be the fourth, is I really want to teach you and show you what kind of house God is calling us to build and the elements or ingredients God has called us to possess in the house. Because he has developed through our leadership, he has developed a certain culture in our church, a certain climate in our church, and that's the culture he wants here at LifeGate. Now, we can't go against what God wants to do. If you go against a culture established in a church, you're going against very God himself. And God wants you to embrace the culture that he has given to you. Now, the word culture defined is, it means to grow something by implementing certain ingredients. Now, this is God's laboratory, not lavatory, like I said this morning. We are a petri dish in the laboratory of God. God has a laboratory. It's called his kingdom. And he's got different churches in the city that have different cultures growing in their petri dish. Sheffield is a great church. They're a godsend to our city. Their culture's different from ours. It doesn't mean they're right or they're wrong and we're right or we're wrong. It means we're both doing what God has called us to do in this city. So collectively in God's laboratory, all of these different cultures can take Kansas City for the glory of God, right? Because Sheffield is our brother in the Lord. Come on. Praise Chapel is our brother in the Lord. Eastside Baptist, I know they're Baptists, but they're our brother and sister in the Lord. City Church, we don't talk about other churches here because we all, in the laboratory of God, we're petri dishes growing cultures. Right? And so if we're a culture, then what we have in here should be infectious. When a culture is put in a petri dish, what happens is scientists take bacteria and take different things and they put it in a petri dish and they watch that thing under a microscope to see if that culture will begin to grow. If that culture begins to grow, then they say that's contagious, that's infectious, because those microorganisms are spreading one to another and growing. When we first started this church, God spoke to me to come to Kansas City. My wife and I moved here with just my wife and I. We knocked on thousands of doors, talked to thousands of people, and we literally started from scratch moving 3 hours away because it was my heart. I didn't feel like it was appropriate or God to move a mile down the street from my pastor and be rebellious and start a church and steal people from his church. That's called a church split, not a church plant. Hello, somebody. And so when we came down here, we began to ask God, grow the culture. Give us concepts and principles to become infectious in the people, that they will take this infectious culture and begin to breed it amongst themselves and grow the culture that you want to have established here at LifeGate Church. Somebody say, I hear you. Every church in this city has a culture. You know, some cultures are super religious and they don't give anybody any grace. If you stumble and fall, you're going straight to hell. Other cultures, they're the complete opposite way. There's no holiness. There's no godliness. There's no standard. You can live how you want to. Neither one of them cultures are right. We got to establish a culture that's somewhere in the middle that says, hey, there's enough grace if you do mess up for you to be restored and put back in ministry. But God wants you to live right. He wants you to say no to sin, yes to holiness. But there's enough grace in the room to encourage you and pick you back up if you stumble. Look at your neighbor and say, culture. So everything has a culture. You came with a culture today. Your house has a culture. Some people don't clean their house. Their house culture is filthiness, and they don't correct their children, and there's no discipline in their house. Their kids tell the parents what to do, and they don't pick up their drawers that have been laying on the floor for 6 months because that's their bedroom and their world. Not at the Gallardo's. The Gallardo's got a culture. That ain't your bedroom until you start paying the bills. You sucking up daddy's air conditioning. You sucking up daddy's furnace. You're going to get in there and make your bed. Pick up your toenails off the floor. Get to the table. Make your dinner. Put your dish back in that dishwasher. Your mother ain't a maid. That's the culture at the Gallardo's. At the Gallardo's, my bed is my bed. At the Gallardo's, my home is my domain. Don't just come in my house. No, just come up in my bedroom, honey. You better knock on that door before you come in this room. That's the culture of the Gallardo's. Everybody in this room got a culture. Some of y'all's culture's twisted, I ain't gonna lie. Other cultures are normal. If you travel with me, it is my culture to stick tissue in the people. Because I'm wigged out that somebody, I travel a lot, preach all over the place, I'm wigged out that somebody can actually, you know, unscrew the peephole and look in my room while I'm sleeping. So I always take tissue and stick it in the hole and wet it a little bit so it sticks way up in there so nobody can see in the room. I just got back from Cedar Park, Texas yesterday, where I preached an amazing church on Friday night. And I got to the hotel and they put me in a really nice 4-star hotel and they had a peephole cover that went over the cover. I said, this church got it going on. Everybody has a culture. Look at your neighbor and say, we hear him today. We hear him today. I went to the Arrowhead Stadium on Monday because the greatest team in the NFL played Monday night. It was the Kansas City Chiefs. And we, Lord, please help them to beat the socks off Houston today so I can text Matt Austin and make fun of him in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we were watching the Chiefs play, and I love going to the Chiefs stadium because our tickets were only $30 a piece, but they charge you $60 to park. And here's the kicker. You get to park. You get to show up early. You get to set up an awning. You get to bring a cooker with you. You get to put turkey on the grill, hot dogs on the grill. You get to bring salsa and chips, and you get to play games and hang out for 3 hours before you ever get in the building. I was thinking, my God, I wish church people would come ready to deposit $90 just to show up on the parking lot. I wish people would come ready and pack as many people as they can in their car to get up in the building to see what God is going to do. I would to God I could find you here 40 minutes early, out here tailgating, waiting for church to start because you believe God's about to. That's our culture. We went into the stadium, Rob. It was crazy. The whole way in, we're walking in that circle. Oh, come on, y'all. We Kansas City fans. Come on. Louder. Louder. Did you hear him? I didn't hear one person go up to anybody in that circle and say, could you guys be too loud? That's not my personality. But when we come to church, we get church people all the time. I don't shout because that's not my personality. I don't like it loud because that's not my personality. That's the problem. You need to get on the culture of what God is trying to build so deliverance can come to the people. Everybody clap their hands when when Kansas City scored. Everybody was on their feet shouting and dancing. Everybody was screaming. Chop took his shirt off and started dancing all crazy. True story. I said, Chop, don't do that at church, but that's awesome. The first half of the game, they weren't doing too well. And my wife started booing the Chiefs. She's like, boo! I said, baby, you can't boo the team that you're wearing a jersey for. I said, you can't do that. She's like, but they're not playing good. Boo! I said, babe, you're going to get me beat up in here. This is their house, not mine. And they don't know. I know Josh is with me and Chop, and they're begging everything. But there's a lot of drunk people around us. You got to stop booing people. Because drunk people don't care, you know. They will say and do whatever they feel in that moment because they drunk. They've been drinking spirits, wine and spirits. I wish some of y'all get some drinking some Holy Spirits so you get to the point you don't care what other people got to say to you. You're full of the Holy Ghost, and you're going to let loose the boldness of somebody shout culture. Culture, culture, culture. So a lot of times in church, church cultures are built on a booing culture where we see a brother or sister who is weak and we go in a corner and start talking about them. We start booing them. Did you see what so-and-so wore? What so-and-so did on Facebook? That ain't none of your business. Did you see where so-and-so went? I think I saw them coming out the bar. Well, how do you know they wasn't up in that bar witnessing to somebody, preaching Jesus to them, and trying to be light in the midst of a dark culture? Culture. Look at your neighbor and say, culture. In order for us to possess the kind of culture God wants us to possess, in order for LifeGate Church to grow to a place that he's calling us to grow to, it's half his responsibility and half our responsibility. A lot of church people are more of a pain that we have experienced when they leave a church and come here because they come with an agenda, right? They come wanting to change the culture here, but honey, God never called you to change nobody's culture. I'm not coming up in your house trying to tell you how to run your house because that's your domain. You have authority there. Come on. At Arrowhead Stadium, what's our coach's name? Come on, three people tell me. Andy Reid. You don't go up in the Arrowhead Stadium and be like, Andy, I need to talk to you. I don't like the culture here. They're going to laugh at you. Why is it church the only place where religious people come and think it's their religious duty to tell the pastor how the pastor ought to do the church? Ain't never pastored no church, ain't never led no department, ain't never been planted longer than 3 weeks. Oh, I know I'm preaching. Because they just got really quiet. That's how I know. They're like, I'll pray. I'm going to give you 12 cultural points today, and we're going to go through this slow. 12 cultural points. Now, we have core values. That's not these. These are cultural points. These are things we will not take out of this institution because God gave them to us. Make sense? Culture point number one, covering. I need that umbrella. I don't know why I had somebody take it back. That was, we got it right here. Covering is important to us. Ephesians chapter number 4, the Bible said that God has given church government leadership into the house of God to bring the church into a place of maturity. Come on. Maturity isn't when you're mad because you don't get to sit where you want to sit. That's not maturity. Come on. Maturity is not mad when you pull up in the parking lot. Now you're mad because somebody's in your parking space. That's not maturity. That's immaturity. Right? So a pastor is called as a governing office to bring cover to you and bring you into maturity, to build you, to equip you, and to raise you up to serve in the house of God. Now, if you've been coming to church for 6 years and you don't serve in the house of God, you're literally bucking the system of God's kingdom. Can we get you to serve? You're like, my name is no. Hey, can we get your number? Because we're going to call you. We want to reach out to you to connect you to apartment. My number is no. Can you help usher today? I said, my name is no. I'm here to receive. But you've been receiving for 6 years. Then you got these, they call themselves bunny Christians. They hop from church to church. To church. And the reason why they hop is because they don't want nobody telling them what to do. They don't have covering. If you go to a church and that pastor isn't submitted to one, he ain't a real pastor. I'm fully submitted. I've got two pastors that cover me. You know why? Because it's going to rain outside one day. There's going to come a day when it's storming all around me, and I'm going to need to have some spiritual covering to tell me, how do I get up out of this storm? You will not possess any spiritual authority until you submit yourself to God-given authority in your life. Teach me how to get a devil out. I'm going to teach you. Get under covering. Teach me how to kick the devil out of my house. I'll teach you. Get under covering. It's God's idea. Wonder why all hell's breaking loose. Oh, I got electrocuted. You're not under covering. Look at your neighbor and say, get under covering. My pastor, Pastor Jim Hart, I don't like him. That's your own business. My pastor, Pastor Rob Parsley, I don't like him. That's your own business. They cover me. I got rebuked 2 weeks ago by a pastor. For what? Nunya. You know what Nunya is, right? That'd be none of your business. I'm glad when they correct me. You know why I'm glad when they correct me? Because they love me. It tells me they're covering me, keeping me safe from harm, and concerned about the growth of you. If they didn't care about you, they wouldn't correct me. So their adjustment toward me brings blessing to you. So when you get under covering and you submit yourself, this is biblical, I'm speaking theological and doctrine this morning. When you submit yourself to covering, Hebrews chapter 13, obey your spiritual leaders and those who work for the blessing of your soul. Do it with joy and not with grieving the man of God, for that would be of no profit to you. Come on, somebody. We've got to submit to the authorities God put in this earth. We need covering. So if you're going to come to church here, you got to let me pastor you, not buddy you. You got to let me give you spiritual guidance that may make you sore from time to time. I went to the gym one time in my life. Maybe twice. And the thing I realized, if you get a trainer, I had one time and he hurt my feelings, so I never went back. The reason why is because when I left Santos, we could have him stand up and flex, but he'd make me feel really dumb because he's huge. When you get a trainer to train you the proper way, you're going to leave the gym sore than a mug. I mean, it'd be like, my arms hurt, my chest be hurt, my stomach hurt. I didn't even know I got this body part and it hurt. Right? A real pastor, you will leave church time to time like, ouch, that kind of hurt. You know why? Because God is convincing you and convicting you that you need to change. If I as a pastor can't change you, correct you, challenge you, I can't lead you into the blessing of the Lord. You need a covering. Number two, or the next one, we'll say. We are a church that is exciting and exuberant. We are a church that is loud and fast. Right? We get church people come, well, we've been trying church. We come to try your church, and you're just too loud. Okay, well, you're just too quiet. Everything's so fast around here, the bass, boom, 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 boom. Well, you're too slow. You can't come into a church. It's actually witchcraft, you guys. For somebody to come into a church and infuse their culture on what God is trying to do through his kingdom culture, you in witchcraft. Hello, somebody. You know, Jezebel, she was a devil in the Bible. I mean, she doesn't come in just women form either. She comes in men form as well. And Jezebel was all about resisting what God wanted to do. See, what you don't understand is what God has shown us through the repetition of and the reputation of our church and ministry. In the atmosphere of that push of praise and worship, we've seen meth addicts get delivered. We've seen porn addicts get delivered before anybody laid hands on them. So that's the culture God is putting in here because there's a strong deliverance anointing on this church. So don't mess with it. Right? Come on now. And then so Jezebel was frustrating the man of God, and the prophet of the Lord came to her house, and they said, "Have you come in peace?" And he said, "I have not come in peace until the voice and the words of Jezebel, your mama, is done and she's dead." Now, you know he was on for a fight when he talked about somebody's mama. And if you look that word up, her voice and her words, I did a deep study on it one day. It means a soft whispered spell. You know what a soft whispered spell is? You giving your opinion that's anti the culture God is establishing. That's witchcraft. Soft spoken spell. I ain't going to do that. We all know you're not going to do it. I'm not praising like that. We know you're not going to praise like that, because you're giving that vibe. Do we have to be exuberant? Yes, that's our culture. Do we have to be loud? Yes, that's our culture. If you don't want to embrace that culture, listen, let's not do this dance. Hello, somebody. Maybe this ain't the church for you. That's all right. But I believe it is. Because you're here this morning. And why would God put you here if this wasn't your church? Look at your neighbor and say, "Welcome home, honey." All right, here's another cultural point. Oh, help me, Jesus. You got to know your pastor, right? Look at your neighbor and say, "Do you really know your pastor?" I'm going to take a drink of water because this is a... Sorry, Chop. We live in a culture, especially in spirit-filled churches, our churches like ours, where church folk want to be their pastor's buddy. Okay? I'm called to lead you, to grow you in the things of God. Come on, somebody. When you become somebody's buddy, the sin of familiarity is bred. When familiarity is bred, you no longer receive the voice of God through that individual. Come on now. Moses was leading the children of Israel. I hope this is helping somebody today. Moses was leading the children of Israel, and he was hanging out with them, going to the races with them, going to Top Golf with them, going to Applebee's after church every single service, doing everything he could with them. They had his number on speed dial. They was texting all day, every day. And his father-in-law comes to Moses and says, "Moses, what you are doing is completely unhealthy for people and unhealthy for you." He said, "But I love them. I want to be with my people. I want to smell like the sheep." Jethro said, "You're supposed to lead the sheep. Sheep smell like sheep. Leaders smell like laundry detergent." I never see no shepherd wearing sheep clothing. Why y'all looking at me funny? You got to know your pastor. That's a wolf. That's what he just said right there. I didn't say it. Come on. A true shepherd distinctly comes out from among them and leads them to Jesus. I'm not trying to lead you to Lifegate Church. I'm trying to lead you to Jesus. Come on. I want you to become a member. I want you to get planted and rooted here. But I want you to get to Jesus. That's my goal. So, in saying that, I don't know if they're ready, Rob. You think they're ready? I don't know. I don't know if they're ready. Give me a little. Your doctor's a professional. Your lawyer is a professional. Jamal Charles is a professional. Praise the Lord. That rookie quarterback for Houston is a professional. When was the last time you called them on their cell phone? When was the last time you went to the movies with your doctor? Why y'all laughing? That sounds funny, don't it? When was the last time you took your doctor for a cup of Joe at Starbucks? You haven't. You know why? Because that's a breach of familiarity. Hello, somebody. I know it's an adjustment. Some of you are like, "I don't know if I like this. I want to have the pastor at my expense 24/7. He only works on Sundays anyway." If you only knew. If you only knew. The reason why they don't is because they're professional in what they're called to do in this earth. I, as your pastor, am very approachable. I love on people. I take people, I pick them up, take them to the front door in the golf cart, love on. I want to be the first person people see when they come in the parking lot. I want them to see my face, sit, talk to me for 5 minutes when we get up to the door, love on them, put my hands on them, give them a hug, glad you're here, encourage them. That's my heart. But I know it's not good for me to hang with you 24/7 because then the honor and respect will no longer be there. So when I then talk, I become like Jesus was in his own hometown. The Bible said he couldn't do many miracles because he was just Joseph's boy. Well, Pastor, I know you. We become friends. You're my homie. You're just Sherry's son. No, I'm the gift God gave you. I am the medium by which he speaks to you. Yeah. I am the medium by which God gives an entity, life-giving doctrine, theology, and thus saith the Lord. Come on, somebody. There will come a time in our church. I just want you to know, I want you to know who we are, because I don't want to do the dance if this doesn't fit you. You know. This is our culture. There will come a time when we have a staff pastor on staff. He will do all the marrying and all the burying. Now people have a problem with that because they're like, well, we want our pastor to marry us. We want our pastor to bury us. Do you know that that's an American culturalized thing? That's not a biblical thing? Because the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 6 that the apostles of the Lord wanted to be given over to prayer and study of the word, getting a word from God, and working the ministry. So they appointed Stephen to come and wait tables, to bless the people, to marry the people, to do hospital visitations. Come on, I'm not the only one around here that can pray, by the way. There's some anointed people here that can pull you up out of a hospital in the name of Jesus. Come on. We are all in this together. Come on, there's no big I's and little U's, but we all have to do our part. It's good teaching right here. I hope I'm helping you today, right? Because some of y'all haven't been planted yet because you haven't understand the purpose and the place of a pastor, right? And so I'm called to speak for you on behalf of God. So you need to know this about me as your pastor before you become a settled member. I don't chase people. Y'all got so quiet. This ain't going on TV, so I'm getting down here. I don't chase people. You know, I ain't chasing left ones. If you a left one, I ain't chasing you. Jesus said he left the 99 to go after the one that was. I don't chase people who come here, get disgruntled, run their mouth on Facebook, and leave us. I don't chase left ones. I chase lost ones. And there's a big difference. We don't chase Jezebels. We don't chase rats. We don't chase snakes. We don't chase donkeys. We don't chase goats. We chase sheep and the lost sheep that are in our culture. Somebody say yes. Because I'm a pastor, and that's what pastors do. They got quiet in the church. Oh, Lord, I don't know if they're ready for this one. If I don't like what goes on in the church, I don't implement it. I've had people tell me before, why do you have that organist up there playing while you preach? That's annoying. Because I like it. Okay, now hear me very carefully. I flow in the office of an apostle. Now, I don't say that in an arrogant way. You say, what's an apostle? An apostle flows in all the other office gifts. He's a prophetic person. He's an evangelist. He can get people led to Christ. He's a pastor, so he's married to the church. And he teaches the word. He gets way down there in that ear where the other can't get. The apostle, he flows in and out of all those, but he comes into a city and he uproots bad thinking, bad teaching, bad doctrine. He pulls down mental strongholds. He births something brand new. Welcome to a brand new church, Life Gate Church. And he does that for the embetterment of the kingdom in a region, right? And so apostolic anointings and giftings need to not get in a pulpit and feel frustrated. If I come up in here and everything is out of order, things are crazy, there's no structure, there's no order, that frustrates my gift. So when I stand behind this pulpit to give a word of the Lord to you, you're not getting just a word from God, you're getting a frustrated word from me. Y'all are looking at me so funny right now, like you never heard this kind of teaching before, right? And so the best thing, as God instructed in Psalms 133, the anointing of the Holy Spirit does not flow from the second row to the pulpit. The leadership, the headship of church does not flow because Santos gets a vision from God for the church and gives it to me. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the anointing oil flows from the head down to the beard, onto the shoulders, and then the rest of the body, it becomes the culture. We're living in a day and age where everybody's opinion matters. We live in a day and an age where everybody wants to feel entitled and accepted, but that's not the message of the kingdom. That's the culture of humanity, and it's backwards. The culture of the kingdom is God has a way of doing things, so seek him first and his way. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And then all things will be added unto you, is Matthew 6:33. Come on now. We got to get instructions from headship. Headship releases it to us. We release it to the body. It becomes a culture, becomes infectious, and then that becomes Life Gate Church. Look at your neighbor and say, culture. Culture, culture, culture. Culture, culture, culture. So I don't implement things I don't like. As a pastor, I don't. Why do we have an organ bump me? Because I like it. It liberates me. Why do we sound so loud? Because it liberates me to flow in the gift God put in me. Why do we spend so much time on first-time guests and follow-up? Because we like first-time guests, we like follow-up, and we like them to be liberated. Why do we no longer do cash for cans? Because it was a sloppy mess. I didn't like it, and I X'd it. We do songs in this church. We do songs today. My praise is a weapon. You know what that does to me? Not only is it giving God praise, but it unlocks the gift that's within my spirit to get back here and stand and preach under an unction, under an anointing of the Holy Ghost. So while I'm preaching right now, much like Peter, some of you are getting liberated from addiction. Some of you are getting set free from bondage right now in the atmosphere of this infectious culture. Somebody shout culture. Oh, Jesus. All right, let's move on because I feel you. I feel you. The next thing about our church, a cultural point, we have office hours. That's really deep. We have office hours, which means we really, 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 look at your neighbor and say, really. We really, really encourage you. If you want to talk, set up a meeting, hang out, talk about an issue in your life, call the office Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. When we move to this building, all of our offices are almost done, praise God. And when we move to the offices here on a Wednesday night, we'll actually let some of you go through them that are here on Wednesday nights when we get everything all done. We'll have 9 to 5 office hours with an hour for lunch for the staff to go get something to eat. But if you could help us and do us a favor, a lot of people will reach out in passing at church, and I have like ADD really bad. And if I see a squirrel, what you just told me erases out of my mind. And I'll unfortunately forget about that conversation. Like, I forget so bad. Janae has to put all my things into a computer, which comes to my phone, so I don't forget, because I will forget really, really fast. And I don't want you to feel like we disrespected you by missing a meeting. So the best thing for you to do if you want to meet with us is call the office. So let me ask you a question. What would be the best way to have a meeting with your pastors?
Call the office.
Wow! Right? And here's why, guys, here's why. We're not trying to be a mom and pop church.
Right.
We're not called to be a small, we're not called to be a small church. God has got influence on this ministry. And when people like Pastor Parsley, who when he does a Facebook Live, a million people will view it. When he calls me and says, man, you are so brilliant. God's got destiny and favor on your life. You better get ready because 2018, your personal ministry is going to explode. When men of that caliber are prophesying over your ministry, over your church, guys, I'm just here to tell you right now, we've all got to get all hands on deck, be all up in the vibe of the culture. So when the growth comes, everybody's just going to know what to do, be in the vein and chase after the vision of God. Amen. This is not Gallardo vision. This is God's vision that he birthed in me to reach people, build people, and to pursue Jesus. Come on. So we got to go after that. Amen. So we're called to be a house of excellence. We are called to be professional. Don't schedule a meeting and passing. And here's another one. This is really good. This is good. This is why we want you to schedule a meeting with us to talk if you want to talk. Because after church and before church on Sundays and Wednesdays, that's like Super Bowl. That's like game day. Right? So it's important for me. Like, I know we've got a first time. We've got some first time guests. I met two of you earlier as you were getting out of your amazing Dodge truck that looks just like mine, by the way. And so I know that's confirmation you're supposed to be here. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk to them after church. But if church people that have been coming here for like 3 or 4 years try to distract my time for an hour after church, then I miss out on the harvest that God is sending to connect to them. You see what I'm saying? So it's very valuable for you to call the office. What do you want to do if you want to talk to the pastors?
Call the office.
What do you do if you want to talk to the pastors?
Call the office.
Look at your neighbor just so they hear you and say, hey, I got to tell you something. Call the office. And that guy back there's got a cool truck. All right, here's another one. Pastoral care department. If you need a hospital visitation, a prison ministry visit, if you need a nursing home ministry, somebody come visit you, you're shut in, you're super sick, you've been gone for 2 months because you can't get here, we want to come and minister to you. But we don't know you're shut in the hospital by your Facebook post because we're not reading your Facebook post. If you want us to come and visit you in the hospital, please pick up the phone and... call the office. Okay, and Pastor Greg heads that up. He's in the background in the media ministry, but he does the pastoral care department. Here's another one. This is for your safety. We encourage you that if you're not on the prayer team or if you haven't been sent, don't be laying your hands on people in our church. All the un-Pentecostals and people who haven't been raised in church have no idea what I'm talking about. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, let me see your hand. Raise it there. All right, perfect. That's the minority of us. So in a lot of church cultures, when we ask people to pray, everybody just goes laying hands on people. You know. But the way I read scripture is you're not released in ministry until you're sent in ministry. Hello, somebody. Paul laid his hands on Timothy and then referred back to that moment and said, remember when I laid hands on you, Timothy, stir up the gift that you got from that impartation. Now, here's why we don't lay hands on people suddenly. Because we don't know what you came in church with. And what's in you will impart to somebody else. And so for the safety of the rest of the flock and the sheep, we encourage you, if you want to lay hands on people, get submitted to covering. Join the prayer altar ministry first. Yes? Why? Because we want that under cover. So if you want to join the prayer ministry, who are you going to call? If you want to serve on the usher department, who should you call? If you want to join the praise team, who do you call?
Office.
All right, you're doing pretty good. If you want to get saved, who do you call? Somebody said office. Well, you could do that too, but that's good. Something else we do, this is going to take no time. It's 12:14. I have to get used to preaching in 30 minutes. I grew up in a church. If you had a testimony, they would have testimony service. How many of y'all know what testimony service is? And it usually would go this way. Oh, Sister So-and-so, Brother Broadbottom, please come up and give a testimony. You've got a testimony before the Lord. He'd come up and be like, man, I've been fighting the devil all night long. And the devil just been beating on me and beating on me and beating on me. And well, that's my testimony. That's not a testimony. Right? And so we don't do testimony at our services at our church. We don't interrupt the message. You know, if you want to add to something, we don't do that here. If you got a prayer request, and if you're going, hey, Pastor, I got a prayer request, we don't do that here because it's disruptive, right? And so what we ask you to do, here's a testimony card, and on the backside of it is a prayer request card. You can find these out at the information stage because we want to know what's going on in your life, and we want to pray with you. We just want everything, like Paul said, to be done in decency and in order. There is an order. There is decency in the house of God. There is structure. Can I have one of those order of services real quick while we're talking about this? Somebody got one. Is it up here? Oh, I got it right here in my pulpit. Check this out. So every service, this is what we do. This is an order of service. We flow in the Holy Spirit here, but the Holy Spirit works when there is order. In the Old Testament, God told Moses, hey, build me a tabernacle. The glory is about to fall. Moses said, yes, sir. He said, wait, before you do, let me write you a book. It's called Leviticus. and I'm going to give you a whole book on how to structure the order of the temple. And when they structured the order of the temple, the Shekinah glory of God fell. Give me a New Testament principle. I'm glad you asked. Peter, or Paul, was on an island, and the Bible said that he wanted to build a fire. So he went and gathered wood together, and he put the wood in order, and then he lit the fire. If we're going to have the fire of God come and connect to our church services, then he's going to have to order a structure to work with, because he's not a hypocrite. He said, let everything be done in decency and in order. If we do our part, he shows up and does his part. I grew up in a church where we called things that were out of order flowing in the Holy Spirit. I can see none of you grew up in a church like that. I'm not talking about Pathway. I'm talking about another church. What church is that? That's the Nunya Church. Okay, so that's testimony time, prayer meets. Here's another thing. When you came to church here, you have to know I'm a traveling pastor. I go from church to church and encourage local bodies all over the United States. I was just in Cedar Park, Texas. The week before that, I was in Kentucky. The week before that, I was in, Virginia. And so that's part of my destiny, part of my purpose. And so as a traveling pastor, then, if you join our church and you know that now, don't try to change that later. Because the fact of the matter is, whoever I put in this pulpit is going to give you a word from God. It might be my wife. It's going to be Janae soon. It might be Josh. It might be Ashley. It might be Kobe. It might be Lexi. It might be Alex. It might be Chop. It might be John. It might be Kim. It might be Dana. Whoever I put in this pulpit is going to give you a word from God. I wouldn't put him here if I didn't trust him. So we're not building this church based off the culture of Gallardo, but off the kingdom. So when the king comes and sees we're doing things, establishing his order, then he rests upon us. Here's another one. Help me as a member of our church by being respectful during service. So like if you are here and you need to go to the restroom, please, unless you're handicapped or can't walk well, please go downstairs into the fellowship hall to go to the bathroom. And then when you come back, just like sit on the back row for two reasons. Number one, It can captivate. I'm having a hard time saying this because I know Corey and Hannah went to the bathroom. It's over. Okay, it's no big deal. I didn't want to sound like I was picking on them, but that's up there. I didn't want to sound like I was picking on them. But it can captivate the audience, can it? Come on, talk to me. And we have to remember that we're ministering to a potential 55 million people every single week. You say, what are you talking about? That's our broadcast. It reaches a potential 55 million people a week. And our Facebook Live reaches up to 3,000 people a service, right? So our church is much larger online and around in broadcast than it is here. But we're still reaching millions of people, right? And so we got to keep them connected. We can't be distracting during service, amen? All right, here's another one. This is the last one, I promise. Rob played a little something because they're getting tired. I see it in their face. Membership is not enough. I know people done been members at a church for 30 years and ain't been there in 17. And I used to be a member of a gym once. I paid them a lot of money for the year. I think it was like $36 a month for a year. I should have put that in the offering. And I would drive by that gym. I'm like, that's my gym. And the Holy Spirit was like, you lying to yourself. That ain't your gym. All that gym's got is your money. Right? Pastor Hart, he's one of our covering pastors, and he bought a lifetime membership to 24-Hour Fitness. And he's all excited about it. We were talking about it, and I said, well, Pastor, when was the last time you went there? He said, why would you ask me that? I said, no, really, when was the last time you went there? He started laughing. He goes, I can't remember. Right? So if we're a member at a church, we're not member in name. Here's how we're members: by involvement. Right? Everybody doing their part. Right? Every joint supply is what the Bible tells us. What would happen if you showed up today, you tried to walk to church, but you didn't have any legs? Your body would complain about that. What if you woke up this morning and your head was laying on the ground? I mean, your body would complain about that. Right? We are the body of Christ. We need everybody, because here's legitimately why. Randy has in him what Randy has in him to be a blessing to somebody I can't be a blessing to. Right? Kobe is an incredible guy. And Kobe only has in Kobe what's in Kobe to reach people that I can never, ever, ever reach. Where's Miss Sheila at? Where's she at? I know she's here. I saw her. Miss Sheila, where are you at? Miss Sheila, come on. Sheila has something on the inside of her. I love her spirit. It's so contagious. Right? But if Sheila didn't serve, that would be a disappointment because she's awesome. So here's what I'm asking you to do. If you become a member at LifeGate Church, it's a prerequisite for you to become involved. How do we involve ourselves, Pastor? With your time, showing up, being on the crew, being a part of the dream team. Right? I'm building me a dream team, by the way. Secondly, through your talent. Everyone in this room has a talent the other one may not have. I wish, to honest to God, I wish we had like hip-hop dancing during praise and worship. I wish we had, like, I'm serious, like classical dancing during worship time where there were lyricals going on. I wish we had somebody over here painting a big old mural during praise and worship. There's so many different fine arts departments that we've never tapped into yet because we ain't had the people to do it. We had the people, but they didn't want to live right, and that's another issue. But if you're going to be a member, get involved. God's doing something great in our church, guys, for real, I promise. Like the majority of the people that go here got saved here. Like, I'm not one of these guys that try to steal people from other churches. I usually try to send them back to their churches. Because I want God to manifest to hurting, broken, lost, sinful, wayward people. That's the kind of church we are. Reaching people. Today it was a building day. I'm building you today. Another day we'll go crazy and pursue Jesus. Right? That's who we are. These are our cultural points that you need to know, and they're going to grow our church. Amen?